What is going on? Sorry, my internet is a little wacky right now. I just had to start my computer again, but here we are for the Tuesday edition of the Stochastic NHL Strategy Show, sponsored by Prize Picks. I'm your host, Josh Harris. Hair on fire. Joining me as always, Slim Cliffy. How you doing today, Cliffy?
Doing good, man. A little more relaxed than you, I think. Josh was out running some important errands all day, so he made it to the show about 3 minutes before we came on the air. But we're both ready to go. Pretty exciting slate, I think, we have ahead of us tonight. I have a free article up on stochastic.com under the NHL section. Anybody can go check it out if they want to. Mention that with no Toronto, no Edmonton on the slate here tonight, obviously you don't have Matthews or McDavid or Draisaitl or anything like that. So there are 22 teams, but you're missing some of the really big names, which are slates that are kind of light because it opens up the options a little bit more, and allows you, you know, to not feel like you're pigeonholed into going to, you know, two or three teams for a primary stack or something. So I'm excited to break this one down.
Yeah, and I got a chance to look at ownership and all that stuff. His chalk, Arizona. We'll up that a little bit later. 11 games. I mean, like, for a bigger slate, I think 11's fine. 12, 13, 14, 15. Oh, my internet. Hold on. Hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can see you.
I think we're good, right? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think we're good for now.
Let's get into this slate then, shall we? But before we do, make sure to smash that like button. Subscribe. We like the likes, so you can keep up with all of our shows, DFS offers, giveaways, and much more. Once you subscribe, hit that notification button to get alerts when our shows go live. Don't forget, all of our contest is available in podcast form on the platform of your choice. Help us out by leaving a 5-star review. Shout out to Prize Picks, who is our host. Thank you very much. We'll have an offer for you for them a bit later. But let's get into this slate, shall we? I think we shall. The Boston Bruins with a 3.8 total. Heading into Montreal, the Canadiens have a 2.2 total. Jeremy Swayman, probable. Samuel Montembeau, confirmed. Before we get into that, $100 super chat. Thank you very much, Paul. He says, banked a second fantasy hockey championship thanks to your show on Thursday. Thank you, Jets. Congrats to you. You got two bullets to that live final in March or February or March. I forget when it is exactly. I know it's in Denver, Colorado. Aspen. but congrats to you. That is exciting. Thank you very much for the super chat. Glad we can be of assistance.
Yeah, that's thanks. First and foremost, thanks a lot for the super chat. That is very generous, Paul. And yeah, congrats to the second bullet. It's hard enough to get in once to be able to have a couple that you can play with and maybe be a little bit more fluid with your fantasy hockey world championship lineup. That's it's a really nice accomplishment. So congrats. That's awesome. And thanks for watching. We appreciate people viewing, and we certainly hope that we can help some people win along the way.
He says, thank you. Let's go for a third. Can I get in first? Please? No, that's fine. If you get a third, congrats to you. I will be trying tonight. I have some tickets to the 300, so. Boston, Montreal. Man, Saturday morning, we got off the air before we got the Cole Caulfield news that he is out for the season with shoulder surgery. That really hurts the Habs. And then you look at the other side here, like Boston's top line, not getting a ton of ownership on the slate with a 3.8 road total with a very good power play matchup. You know, Pasternak not on that top line, but, you know, he's coming in under 10%, Bergeron 7%, Marchand under 7%. It is pretty price prohibitive to leave Craig Smith off and put Pasternak on, but from a power play standpoint, this is one of the best. And as far as the Habs, you're probably out.
Yeah, I think without Cole Caulfield, Montreal is basically in that Arizona bucket for me right now. That there are maybe four or five matchups across the league where I would start considering Montreal, at least for a stack. Playing Boston is not one of those matchups. Just to highlight this, like over the last three seasons, Nick Suzuki's on-ice goals without Cole Caulfield beside him is 1.9. per 60 minutes. It's 3.6 with Caulfield. Like, it's nearly cut in half. It's losing Caulfield just can't be overstated how big of a loss that is for Montreal. He's far and away their best offensive player. And this isn't a team that has, you know, if when Gabriel Landeskog goes out for the Avalanche, they still have Rantanen, they still have Lekkonen, they still have Nichushkin, all those guys. Montreal's not in that boat. So yeah, I'm out on the Habs. Like, if you want a one-off like a Mike Hoffman or Josh Anderson, like, I'll never say no, but with 22 teams playing against Boston, I'll pass. It's the Boston side that's more interesting for me here. But what I wrote about in the picks article, again, free to read for anybody that wants to check it out at stochastic.com, and I'll bring up the relevant section that I talked about here on Taylor Hall, is Boston's going into Montreal, and obviously that's a tremendous matchup for the Bruins. But Boston doesn't care about these games. Boston is focused on winning games in May and June, not in January and February. And if you look at the way they're allocating their ice time of late, that it's bearing out in the ice time. Like, I think David Pastrnak is leading them over their last 10 games, the forwards, at 18:10 per game. And then Brad Marchand is right around 18 minutes. I think Charlie Coyle is around 17 minutes. And everybody else is like 12 to 16. You know, even Patrice Bergeron is down around 16 minutes a game over his last little stretch. They're real, like, they have the division in the conference locked pretty much, unless, you know, one of the teams goes supernova here in the second half. Like, if the Leafs win like 30 of the next 40 games or something like that, something might change. But Boston's pretty much locked for the top of the conference, top of the division. They don't have a lot to play for. I imagine there are going to be a lot of games, something like this, where they go and play Montreal on the road and Patrice Bergeron plays 15 minutes or something like that. That's kind of the concern that I have with the Bruins here tonight. Now, by the other token, if Bergeron only plays 15 minutes, there's probably a reasonable chance the team's up 3-4 at that point. Maybe he gets in on a couple of those goals and can pay off, but it's really hard to pay the prices for some of these Bruins guys. Like, you know, 7K for Marchand, you know, maybe you get 18 minutes from 7,200 from Bergeron. Maybe you get 16 from him. It's really tough. Like, if you stack those two with Pastrnak, you're looking at a stack that's over $23,000, and none of them might skate 18 minutes here tonight. It's just as good of a matchup as it is. It's just really hard to pay that price. People want to pay up for Boston. I'm not going to say no. It's a tremendous matchup. 5-on-5 penalty kill. Montreal, I think, is the most penalized team in the league over the last 20 games. So, you know, you're fine to go ahead and stack Boston how you want. What I mentioned was, I think I would include Taylor Hall in some stacks. He's down on the third line. Ownership obviously isn't going to be as high. He's playing on the top power play unit. So I think he's a nice guy that you can mix in if you want to kind of vary your power play stacks a little bit. I really, like, it is a tremendous matchup for Boston. I'm just a little bit concerned about the ice time. And I think I would be, if I'm stacking, I would 100% focus on the power play guys. And that includes Taylor Hall. So I wouldn't be afraid to stack across even strength lines either.
Yeah. I think, you know, Taylor Hall is a nice salary saver there. I think the one guy you want to get in is Pastrnak, though. So you would be going across three even strength lines, but I think that is fine. Let's move on to the next one, the Minnesota Wild with a 2.9 total heading into Tampa Bay. The Lightning have a 3.6 total. Marc-Andre Fleury and Andrei Vasilevskiy are confirmed. This game's a little bit interesting to me just based off matchups, right? So I think both of the Lightning top six are smart enough to avoid the Eriksson-Ek line. But, like, The Gaudreau-Hartman line is still very good defensively. So if Kucherov and Point are going out against Steele and Zuccarello, I'll have my interest there. If it's the Stamkos line going out against Zuccarello, I'll have my interest there. I would imagine it's going to be the point line. Maybe you think otherwise, but if that's the case, I do like Tampa 1 here. On the flip side, not too much ownership on the Minnesota Wild's top line. This isn't a very good matchup, but I think you can get to them in some MME stuff.
Yeah, it's been a while since Tampa Bay has been at home. I think they're on like a 6 or 7 game road trip. The last time they were at home, they actually had a top line of Stamkos, Kucherov, Point. So you can't really draw on that. But the game before that, Columbus was in town. It was January 10th. So 2 weeks ago today, they sent out Kloren, Sorelli, and Stamkos against the Gaudreau line and then Hagel, Point, Kucherov against the second line. That would indicate to me that Sorelli and Stamkos are going to go out against the top Minnesota line, and then Point goes out probably against the Hartman line, and I don't think that's a very good matchup. Like you said, that Hartman line is up over 85 minutes together now in their sample. 2 expected goals against per 60 minutes. The problem has been the Minnesota goaltending has been kind of inconsistent for the Wild. But it's not really fair to say like the entire Minnesota goaltending has been inconsistent. Philip Gustavson has played exceptionally well for a couple weeks now. A couple months now. And Marc-Andre Fleury, meanwhile, he's definitely struggled at times. He's absolutely had some big games. But I'm looking at his last 10. You know, he has 3 games at 8 points or less. I think 2 finished in the negative. So, like, Fleury's, you know, not played well at times for Minnesota, which has been a pretty big problem for them. And I think that's where I would come in and use Tampa Bay and specifically the top line. And I mentioned them again in that picks article that's free to read at stochastic.com. The Lightning as a whole have really turned on the offense of late. I was looking just since Christmas. Tampa Bay's 2nd in the league in expected goals for per 60 minutes at 5-on-5. Like the power play has come alive with Victor Hedman over like the last month or so. You know, the top line just in the month of January, 3.7 goals scored per 60 minutes. Defensive side of things have struggled, but they've been excellent offensively. And quite sneakily, what I mentioned in that picks article is Minnesota's penalty problem. 3rd most time shorthanded over their last 20 games. Only Montreal and Nashville have more. So Tampa's power play, which has been better, might get a good penalty kill against Minnesota, but they are taking a ton of penalties. And like I said, Tampa Bay's really turned up the offense of late. I do like the Tampa 1 stack here. Coming in very low owned, 2.5%, which is giving them very good leverage per our top stacks tool. Even less owned on FanDuel. I think they're under 1% on that site. You know, together 5-on-5, together on the power play, played well all season, playing a lot better offensively of late. I think it's a sneaky good power play matchup. I do like Tampa 1 here. What's curious is what to do on the Minnesota side, because there's no ownership coming in on Minnesota either. That Tampa 2nd line, the quote shutdown line with Stamkos and Sorelli, hasn't been really shutting down. 3 expected goals against per 60 minutes of 5-on-5, that's not good. 2.8 actual goals against, as you know, having Vasilevsky and Elliott playing well certainly helps. You know, Tampa Bay's penalty kill has been a lot better of late, but has been poor at times this season. I would play Tampa 1 out of all the lines here, even factoring cost and all that whole matchup at a reasonable price, playing very well. But I think Minnesota 1, like if you're playing 50 lineups, you know, 75 lineups, whatever it is, if you're playing a lot of lineups, Minnesota's 1 is a line that I would probably have in there a few times because there's no ownership here. You don't need a lot to get over them. And I don't think it's that bad of a matchup, at least at 5-on-5.
Yeah. I agree. Even in 20 max, I think I'd have at least 1. Woo! Let's get to the next game. Los Angeles Kings with a 3.1 total heading into Philadelphia. The Flyers have a 2.9. Phoenix Copley, Carter Hart confirmed. Not seeing too much ownership here on either side. Phoenix Copley has been, I guess, a revelation so far this year. I don't know if he can sustain this, but he has been very good. Flyers, on the other hand, have looked pretty bad of late. That being said, like, there's no ownership there. The Kings' penalty kill isn't great. Phoenix Copley's been bailing them out. But I think my favorite line in this game is the Kings' second line. They're only getting about 3%. They're fully correlated. Now, the second power play unit hasn't been getting as much time as they have. But, you know, they're going to get a good 5-on-5 matchup, and, you know, they're very good. So I think Kings 2 is my favorite out of this game.
Yeah, and we probably should mention, like, you're not picking against the Flyers for a penalty kill matchup, right? Like, it's something that we mentioned on the last couple of shows. Philly's penalty kill has been really, really good for a couple months now. So the loss of power play time wouldn't really affect how I view that line a lot. I agree with you. They've been playing very well. Los Angeles as a whole has been playing extremely well. I know they've had to endure some injuries, but going back to Christmas, which is 12 games now, second lowest expected goals against in the league. Only Carolina is lower. The top line, 2.2 expected goals against with Quinton Byfield there. The second line, 1.9 expected goals against in the month of January. Like, they've been playing extremely well defensively. With the Flyers, it's how they match up their lines that I think kind of matters here. They do use Konechny, Farabee, and Cates a fair bit in a quote, shutdown role. So I imagine they go out against Kopitar. And then you'll see Hayes, Lawton, and Wade Allison go out against the second line. I think that's a really good matchup for the second line because the Hayes line hasn't been that good defensively. They've been very good offensively, but not good, that good defensively. So I think it is a matchup that favors the Kings second line and goes to what you were saying earlier about them being in a good matchup. But I hate to say it, but Frost, Tippett, and Van Riemsdyk probably going to get third and fourth line matchups from the Kings. Obviously, with Moore and Vilardi and Kaliev out, that's depleted the guys that would normally play down in the bottom six. So they've had to move some guys up the lineup, like Quinton Byfield, like Alex Iafallo, and it makes for a weaker third and fourth lines. And that's the matchup that Philly line is going to get. I don't mind going back to Tippett, Van Riemsdyk, and Frost here. If I were to go elsewhere, it would probably be the Konechny line, Konechny, Farabee, and Cates. Reasonable ownership, good leverage. Better matchup going up against the Kings' top line. Konechny has 40 shots in his last 10 games. Really been an offensive force, but I think it's the Frost line I like the best on the Flyers' side, and I agree with you, Kings, too, on the Kings' side.
Let's move on to the next game. We have the Florida Panthers with a 2.9 total heading into Pittsburgh. The Penguins have a 3.6 total. Spencer Knight is probable. Tristan Jarry is confirmed. We have our first chalky spot of the night with Pittsburgh 1, getting almost 13% ownership here. They are, for them, pretty cheap here, so I guess it's justified. Panthers lost yesterday to the Rangers, gave up a bunch of power plays. I've seen conflicting reports about Letang. Is he a game-time decision? Is he in?
Out? They said he had to talk to the trainers after the game, after their practice this morning, which means I don't think we're going to find out until warm-ups.
Okay. If Letang is in, I think this is a pretty good power play spot. Now, with Petrie there, it's still okay. When both Petrie and Letang are out, when Ty Smith is running the power play, they were just bad. But even with Petrie back, that is a big upgrade on the power play. If Letang's back, even better. I think that top line is firmly in play. Despite the ownership, if you want to go to that second line, they've been humming. You also get two guys on the top power play unit, and you're going to get lower ownership on them. So I think if you want to pivot off the chalk, you go to Pittsburgh too here. On the Florida side, you know, they played yesterday. If you want to go back to something, it's that Verhaeghe, Bennett, Tkachuk line. But they are very expensive. If you want to get to them in MME, though, I think that's fine. They're the best 5-on-5 line by far.
Yeah, it's just Sam Bennett's probably not going to be playing.
Yeah,
right?
His knee got wrecked.
Yeah, I think it might have been his hamstring. But either way, it was his leg. He took an awkward spill into the boards yesterday, left the game, didn't come back. I assume he's going to be out, so we're going to have to see what that second line looks like. I think Luostarinen just moves up, and then you have Luostarinen, Verhaeghe, and Tkachuk. But that, you know, we're just guessing until we see when warm-ups hit. What I will mention is that Kachuk has spent some meaningful minutes this season without Bennett or Barkov. And in those minutes, 3.3 expected goals against per 60 at 5-on-5, five actual goals against. Better offensive numbers, but really, really high pace going both ways. I think that's a matchup that would favor the Pittsburgh second line. They've been really, really good in the month of January. 3.4 expected goals for, 2.9 against. The defense has been bad, so maybe that Florida 2 can get there, but could be a little bit tough without Bennett. But it is a good matchup for that Pittsburgh second line. Evgeny Malkin has played at least 20 minutes in four of his last five games. He has 5 points in that span. He has 20 shots on goal. That line has really been rolling. As we've mentioned before, the power play has been better with Ricard Raquel there than anyone else. And, of course, he's still there. So I really do like that Pittsburgh second line. I also like the Pittsburgh top line. I mean, they've been playing very well of their own. 3.0 expected goals, 3.2 actual goals per 60 minutes in the month of January. The problem is they're going up against – they probably see a fair bit of that Barkov Lundell line. And while they haven't been that good offensively, they've been really stingy defensively. The only thing that's been the problem is the goaltending behind them. And if, you know, Florida gets Spencer Knight back in goal tonight, that's probably an upgrade over both Bobrovsky and Alex Leon. So, you know, Pitt one's perfectly fine here. It is probably Pittsburgh two that I like, but you mentioned them Florida taking penalties last night. 3.8 times shorthanded this season. That leads the league. That's more than Arizona. Like, they've surpassed Arizona in that regard now. I have no problem just mixing and matching the power play guys. So if you want to do double center with like Crosby, Malkin, and then throw Raquel or Crosby, Gensel, Malkin, whatever you want to do, I think it's the Pittsburgh power play guys that I would focus on. If I were to go with an even strength line, it would be Pitt too. On the Florida side, we'll see what the second line looks like. I would have a little bit of interest in like a Kachuk, Lusterine, and Verhaeghe line, I think would be of interest to me, especially where they probably won't have much ownership. We just have to see what the lineup looks like when warm-ups start.
Yeah. Interested to see what the Florida lines look like, see if Letang is in. Someone in chat says, B-Funk says Letang practice on the second power play unit this morning. So even if he is in, we could see Petrie on the top power play unit. So just keep an eye on that. Get 2 free months of Stochastic Plus Platinum, and your first bet is covered up to $1,000 in first bet insurance when you sign up, make a deposit, and make your first paid wager at BetMGM. Click the link in the description below and sign up for BetMGM. You're going to have to make a Stochastic membership, which is free to make if you don't have one. You sign up with BetMGM. Make sure you just click the link in the promo or click the link in the description below. It'll take you through step by step. You'll get a first bet insurance up to $1,000. You'll get paid back in site credits equal to the amount of the first wager if your first bet loses. So make sure to check that out. And the legal age for gambling in most states is 21 plus. And if you or someone else you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
Just want to jump in real quick. I was just looking at that for the power play tweets. Letang was on the top unit this morning.
Okay.
According to Danny Shirey of DK Pittsburgh Sports. So I would guess he's in on the top power play unit, but I guess we'll find out at warmups.
Yeah, if he was practicing on the power play, sounds like he's going to play. But I guess that's up to the trainers. Let's move on to the next one, the San Jose Sharks with a 3 total. Heading into Detroit, the Red Wings have a 3.5 total. James Reimer, Villahuso confirmed. I don't even know, man. Like, these Detroit lines are just not great. The Sharks side, you want to go back to Hurdle Meyer. I think that's fine, but Lord Essiemont is on that line. We'll have to wait and see if LeBanc comes back in, if he slots back in there. You were mentioning how with Essiemont there, that Hurdle Meyer's goal numbers have dropped off, but I still think this is a pretty good matchup. There isn't really a matchup on the Detroit side that really worries me there. On the Detroit side, like I guess the top line, but I don't know. Despite a 3.5 total, I'm not very interested in the Wings tonight.
Yeah, with Essiman on the top line, San Jose's top line's goals for per 60 minutes is at 1.2. Now, that's a function of shooting 2.8%. They're still generating a lot, 69 shot attempts per 60 minutes with Essiman there. So they're still generating. They're just not finishing. And you got to assume eventually that's going to come through. But they're not going to stay at 2.8% if they play a real meaningful sample together. But I think that kind of is a tick in favor of that San Jose top line. And they're not coming in with much ownership. Like, they do have good leverage. They're under 5% owned by our top stacks tool, and they're a top 10 line by top two stack probability. Like, they're higher than any Vancouver line we have here tonight. They're higher than the Pittsburgh second line that we just talked about. They're higher than the Minnesota top line that we just talked about. Like, I think San Jose's top line is going to get a little bit overlooked in this matchup. And I don't know if I would necessarily want to go there in a single entry. If I was playing 20 lineups, I would probably have one or two San Jose of that top line, because I do think the matchup is better than it appears. And, you know, the Detroit penalty kill, not really something that is something to be feared. You know, bottom 10 by shots against since Christmas. I think they're allowing the most goals against per minute since Christmas on the penalty kill. So it's not a bad spot for San Jose one here. I really don't mind them. On the Detroit side, like, Michael Rasmussen, I do like that he's up on the top line with Dylan Larkin. They do have a pretty good sample together this year. Three expected goals for, 2.1 against, 2.9 actual goals for. Like, they're actually generating and they're actually scoring. Rasmussen and Larkin are 1-2 on the Red Wings this year in expected goals for impact. So I expect that line to be good. It's just they're going to go into that San Jose top line a little bit, which could be a tough matchup. I really wish they'd be hard matched against Couture, because that Couture matchup would be a lot softer, but it is what it is. So I don't mind Detroit one either, but they're coming in with a little bit of negative leverage. Honestly, I don't mind playing them, but I think my favorite line in this game is San Jose one. I think they're going to get a little bit overlooked here. And like I said, this isn't a bad matchup. Like, they have a three total, San Jose does. That's higher than the Florida team that we just talked about. It's higher than the Minnesota team that we talked about. It's higher than the Vegas team that we're about to talk about. It's higher than the Winnipeg team. Like, it's one of the higher road totals that we have here on this slate. I don't think San Jose one should be overlooked in this matchup.
Yeah. And a question in chat: how many lineups would it take before you play Bonino Strome? Listen, there's no matchup that really worries me on the Red Wings. They've been very good. Bonino, you know, Sturm, 6,300 for the two of them. If you're looking to get in expensive stacks or expensive power play stacks, you can use them as filler. You know, we'll talk about some cheaper stuff later, but, like, I don't know if I consider them in 1-3, because I don't think you need to get that deep on this slate. But, like,
that's the thing, right? There's no, like, Matthews, Tavares, Nylander stack to make. There's no McDavid plus Draisaitl stack to make. Like, basically, unless you're playing all the super expensive Colorado power play guys. Like, if you're going with a McKinnon, Nichushkin, Rantanen stack, then I'd be like, yeah, okay, then you can consider them. Basically, other than that, you don't really need them unless you're, like, full power play stacking Buffalo or something like that. You know what I mean? There are a couple situations where I would consider them, absolutely. I just don't think for most lineups that would be made that it would be a necessity to go that deep on the San Jose roster.
Yeah. He says, have you met FanDuel? Yeah. FanDuel pricing. Yeah. I'd be more apt to get to them because, you know, the top guys are wildly expensive. So yeah, I think you can use them more on FanDuel. DraftKings, I don't know how necessary it is. Let's move on to the next one. The Vegas Golden Knights with a 2.7 total heading into New Jersey. I just toured New Jersey. The Devils have a 3.4 total. Logan Thompson, Vitek Vanacek are probable here. I don't really have too much interest in the Golden Knights tonight. You want a one-off Eichel or two-man him with Stevenson. I guess it's fine, but, like, I just don't know. There's just so many injuries. They haven't played great. I guess a one-off Nick Roy would probably be my favorite play just because he's cheaper. On the Devil side, I think it would be the Brat Heischer line. If you want to go to the Hughes line, I think that's fine. You want to go to double center, you know, Hughes, Nico with Brat, I think that's fine. Not too much ownership on the Devils. It's just, you know, their even strength lines make it kind of hard to full stack, but I think you can power play stack.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in the Vegas side. We talked on the last show about Eichel's numbers without Mark Stone this year. The on ice goal numbers are just really bad. Even the expected goals numbers aren't that good. Like, they're above average, but being a little bit above average compared to, you know, elite with Mark Stone is just a drastic drop off. And I do think New Jersey's on a little bit of a slide, but it's still a pretty brutal matchup going up against Heischer, Brat, and Palat. So, yeah, I'm out on Vegas. If you want to play Vegas too, I think they're playable because they're not coming in with a lot of ownership. You know, you probably get them under 1% here. They do have some big games in them. They just aren't playing particularly well of late. Like, 2.4 expected goals for since December 1st. Like, that's 7 weeks ago. They're generating well under league average by expected goals rate. They're fine because of an ownership play. I just don't think I'd be running out to play them. On the New Jersey side, I have a problem getting to the Jack Hughes line for this reason. Is like, Eric Hall is just there. You know what I mean? Like, he's not doing anything. He's playing there because they can hide him on that line with the players that he's playing with, and it doesn't make them that much worse. And I just don't like playing lines where a guy is pretty much just a total passenger. And yeah, he's cheap, so he doesn't need a lot to pay off, but I just hate kind of full stacking lines like that, especially where, like, yeah, I'm not expecting goals from Vegas, but they still are a good defensive team. Like, this isn't a tremendous matchup, I don't think, for New Jersey. It's a good one, not like tremendous. So Heischer, Brat, and Palat is probably the line that I would have a little bit of more interest in. Brat over three shots, like, his Brat's issue at certain points this year was shooting. He's over three shots per game over his last 20 games. Like, that seems to be an issue that's a distant memory at this point. With Andre Palat on that line, they're at 3.4 expected goals for, 3.8 actual goals for, like, just really good numbers. It feels bad stacking without Jack Hughes. So, you know, if you want a double center stack, I think that's fine. But I think it's the New Jersey top line with Heischer that I like the best. And like you said, nothing on the Vegas side.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next one. The Buffalo Sabres with a 3.1 total. Heading into St. Louis, the Blues have a 3.5 total. Uka, Pekka, Luukkonen, probable. Jordan Binnington is confirmed. Buffalo played last night to beat the Stars in overtime. Owen Power's first goal of his career. Right? Yeah.
Is it?
No. Yeah. Yeah. That was his first goal of the season, which means it's his first goal of his career, right?
No, he played last season. He had two goals last season.
Oh, okay.
He played right at the end of the season, like, got his eight games in, so they didn't burn the ELC.
Okay, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, excuse my ignorance there. Buffalo top line getting absolutely no ownership here. Now, not the best power play spot just because the Blues just don't take penalties. But when they do, it's a mess. But I don't think there's a line that really worries me 5-on-5 here. Bennington has been pretty good of late, but I don't know. If you're getting no ownership on the Sabres, it doesn't take much to get over the field in MME. On the Blues side, I see that Saad, Thomas, Kyrou line getting double-digit ownership here. I think we're waiting on news on Tarasenko and Buchnevich as well. Did we get that news?
Yeah, you were traveling for that. Buchnevich had some minor surgery. He's out. Tarasenko and Krug both back. Both Krug on the second line with Shen. Saad staying on the top line with Kyrou and Thomas. Krug running the top power play. And Tarasenko taking Buchnevich's spot on the top power play.
Okay, so, like, Tarasenko just slides in to Buchnevich's spot. That actually weakens that line on both ends of the ice, I would imagine. So, like, I guess, like, if anything, you're going to that Thomas Saad Kyrou line. I don't want to, you know, put in a double digit Blues team here. I don't know. It just feels bad.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But like, you know, even without like Buchnevich on the top line or whatever, like Saad and Kyrou have played pretty well this year. Like Saad has been, I think, one of the more important St. Louis players this season. Like he helped, you know, Ryan O'Reilly and Josh Levo actually be a good line. Like Josh Levo was a top liner for a while because Saad and O'Reilly were playing so well together. Saad and Kyrou, 2.8 expected goals for, 2.2 against in their 75 minutes together. Such low expected goals against numbers for a line with Jordan Kyrou. Like that's, you know, that's pretty good play from Saad. You know, that St. Louis top line, again, two out of three guys on the top power play unit. Buffalo doesn't take a ton of penalties. The penalty kill hasn't been good, but the goaltending has. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like the reverse of the Sharks problem where their penalty kill has actually been very good, but the goaltending's been terrible. Buffalo penalty kill save percentage on the penalty kill, 905 in their last 20 games. League average, I think, is like 850. So, you know, a lot better than league average. So it could be a little bit of a tough power play spot, but you don't stack the Blues for the power play. We haven't done that at any point this season. You know, that Buffalo top line, not really good defensively of late. Since January 1st, 2.9 expected goals against. That's well below league average, 3.4 actual goals against. I don't think it's a bad matchup for that St. Louis top line. But like you said, double-digit ownership. People are going to have to decide if they want to pay that. On the Buffalo side, yeah, like there's not much ownership on that Buffalo top line. I think this is one of those spots where if you wanted to use, you know, Nico Sturm and Nick Bonino, like you might need them here. I just don't know if I would necessarily get that deep. Like, yeah, you're getting a lot less ownership than you would be with them on Tampa. But if Tampa comes in under 3% at, you know, $2,200 cheaper for the same top two stack probability, like whether they're 2.5% or 0.5%, it doesn't make that much of a difference to me. Certainly not an NHL contest where you're not playing against 200,000 people. Or something like that. So, So Buffalo won. I don't mind them. I think there are other expensive spots I would rather go to. I will say Middlestat's line been playing well. Middlestat, Jost, and Olofsson, they're basically the de facto number two line now. It's not Cousins, Quinn, and Paterka. It is Olofsson, Middlestat, and Jost. Olofsson scored again last night. I think he's on pace for almost 40 goals this season. And he doesn't sniff the top line or the top power play. So they're doing a lot of work at 5-on-5. That St. Louis depth is going to be brutal. I don't think you have to full stack them, but I think like a two-man of like Middlestat or Olofsson, I think that's perfectly acceptable in this matchup.
Yeah, Olofsson has a goal streak going as well. Not that that matters, but yeah, I do like that line. As we mentioned off the hop, we are sponsored by Prize Picks, and if you click the link in the description below, you'll get one free month of Stochastic Plus Platinum and up to a $100 deposit match bonus when you sign up and make a deposit with Prize Picks. Especially like if you're not in a state where sports betting is legal, this is where you're going to want to take your action. It's basically like placing parlays. It's a prop-based contest, no sharks, optimizers, mass entries. A five-player lineup can net you up to 10x your entry fee. Use your knowledge of multiple sports with cross-sports entries. If you want to put an NBA, you want to put an NFL, you want to put a UFC, you can do that. Tonight, Prize Picks, Victor Arvidsson, over 2.5 shots on goal. Yeah, that is the prize pick. If you want to look at the player compare tool, the player prop tool, you can also do that at oddshopper.com. Also have some up on Stochastic, so check that out. Click the link in the description below. Winnipeg Jets with a 2.9 total heading into Nashville. The Predators have a 2.7 total. Connor Hellebuck is probable. Juice, Juuse Saros is confirmed. Surprise, like I kind of get why the Winnipeg total is only 2.9. That's a good road total. is lower than the Sharks, which is a bit surprising, and it reflects in the ownership. Like, neither of these lines are getting much ownership here. Predators penalty kill still giving up a ton of shots. Since Ehlers came back, the Jets power play has been very, very good. I like getting to the Jets here, especially with the low ownership. On the Predators side, like, I guess that, you know, 3% or whatever it is for the Duchesne Forsberg glass line is fine. I just think this is a tough matchup, Connor, especially if Hellebuck is confirmed. You know, if you want to play them, I think that's fine. They're fairly cheap. They're a decent filler. Just not in love with it.
Yeah, this is a fascinating game, I think, because we're not getting much ownership on the Winnipeg side, as you mentioned, and we're not getting a lot of ownership on the Nashville side either. Top line, a little over 3%, the Niederreiter line, 1.5%, and then down from there. There's just not a lot of ownership in this game. It kind of makes sense. It's 5.5 total, so, I mean, there's... But if you're looking for a game with low ownership, like, this is definitely one of them. Of course, it's Connor Hellebuck versus UC Saros. I think there's a reasonable chance these are two of the three goalies that are going to end up Vezina finalists by the end of the season. So, like, it's always a little bit precarious doing that. I'll start on the Winnipeg side. Like, Scheifele and Ehlers have historically played well together, and limited sample so far this year. Obviously, Ehlers came back not too long ago. But in 60 minutes together, 3.9 expected goals for it, 4.1 actual goals per 60 minutes. Like, they've been really, really good. I did notice, like, you brought up the empty net situation on our last show. I did notice in their last game, neither Scheifele nor Ehlers got any time with the empty net. And that was with they went out, and then the Dubois-Connor line went out. And then they just put out the third line for like 2 minutes. So that kind of sucks in that regard. But Ehlers, Scheifele, and Wheeler have been playing, or Ehlers and Scheifele at least have been playing extremely well together this season. There's no real matchup on the Nashville side that I'm too concerned about, because I do think Johansson, Niederreiter, and Granlund sees them in the matchup. So I don't mind Ehlers, Scheifele. I don't mind at least just like a two-man of Ehlers and Scheifele here, especially if you're playing a lot of lineups tonight. It just makes sense. Like, I mentioned earlier in the show how much time shorthanded Nashville has been spending lately. They are taking penalties. It's just, you know, they have UC Saros in net. That covers up a lot of problems. If Saros isn't on his game, Winnipeg can really have a big game here. Given how bad Nashville is defensively and the penalties that they have been taking. So I do like the Scheifele-Ehlers combo. I will mention Duchesne, Glass, and Forsberg as well. Like, pretty small sample, but they're up to 50 minutes, 87 shot attempts per 60 minutes at 5-on-5. Like, that's a lot. They're generating a ton of offense. We've been extolling Cody Glass's virtue here for about the last, you know, few weeks on this show. I don't mind that Nashville, that Duchesne, Glass, Forsberg line. You know, they're split across two different power play units, and that sucks. But, you know, Nashville has been messing with their power play units for over a month now. There's nothing you can do about it. It's not a good power play spot anyway. Scheifele and Ehlers on one side, the Glass line on the other. If you ask me to pick one, it would be Duchesne, Glass, and Forsberg. But I think they're both in fine spots here. And I don't know if I'll be getting there in single entry, but if I was, again, this is a situation where if I was playing 20 lineups, I might have like maybe one or two of each in my 20, 50, 100 mix, whatever.
Yeah. Flowchart season as well. You know what I mean?
Flowchart full effect for this one.
Yeah. Flowchart, we're going to make some merch. Flowchart has been ridiculous. Move on to the next one. Washington Capitals with a 2.7 total. Heading into Colorado, the Avs have a 2.9 total. Darcy Kemper, probable. Alexander Georgiev, confirmed. Also surprised that this is a 5.5 total, considering the Avalanche top line numbers. They've just been ridiculous. They've, you know, they have two really good lines they can run out there. Not overly owned here. Obviously, McKinnon's going to grab ownership, but, you know, Lekkonen's not getting too much. And you look at the other guys like Nishushkin and Rantanen not getting too much. not the best matchup by any means. Like, the Capitals have been pretty good this season. Now, I would imagine Ovechkin's going to be back. I don't know if we got news there. I was
game time.
Game time decision. Yeah, I was hurling down the turnpike trying to get back home on time. Yeah, I took the turnpike for you guys. If anyone from the show is from, or watching the show is from New Jersey, you know you only take the turnpike in emergencies. Five lanes of 80 miles an hour, bumper to bumper. Quite a scene. That's true love. But yeah, I like the Av side here. Not too much ownership. Like, I don't know if I'd prefer them to the Penguins because the Penguins have a bigger total and, you know, it's a better matchup. But, like, getting that top line under 10% as a trio has me interested.
Yeah. I do like Colorado here. I don't think, like, whether or not I play Colorado doesn't really depend a whole lot on Ovechkin's status. Like, whether he's in or out doesn't really change whether or not I want to play the Avs here tonight. One thing I will mention is Evan Rodriguez was moved off the top line in the last game. I think he was moved off the top line towards the end of the third period. That's a little bit of a problem. They moved Nichushkin up to the top line and then put Newhook with Rantanen and Compher. So Rodriguez was basically yeeted to Nardia. You know, it's a little bit of a problem here because even if Rodriguez does start on the top line for this game, you know, does he stay there all game long? That's a little bit of a problem. Now, yesterday in practice, they did go back to Rodriguez top line, Nichushkin second line, but that they were willing to go there in their last game means that there's probably even shorter of a leash in this game. So it's a little bit of a problem for me when it comes to stacking Colorado. But if you're really worried about it, then, you know, you just leave off the non-power play guys, right? You just don't play JT Compher, or you don't play Evan Rodriguez or what have you. You just play, you know, MacKinnon and Lehkonen or MacKinnon and Nichushkin, whatever you want to do. That's the way you go about it. You know, I do have interest in that Colorado top line. I just don't have a lot of faith it's going to stay together the entire game. And I think Nichushkin's a little bit overpriced at 7,100. Lehkonen really hasn't done a lot at 5,800. Like, no Cale Makar tonight either for Colorado. And if you look at Colorado's power play numbers without Makar, it's basically down like 15% across the board when they're using any other defenseman to run the top power play unit. So it's not as good of a power play. Worried about line matching. I honestly think on the Colorado side, this is a situation where I'm looking for one-offs. Like, one-off Nathan MacKinnon, one-off Mikko Rantanen. Something like that. I don't have a lot of faith in the lines. If I stack anything, it's power play stacking. But like I said, they might struggle here against what's been a pretty good Washington penalty kill for most of the season. On the cap side, I mean, not a ton of interest. Like, Backstrom and Wilson have been playing reasonably well together in a small sample. So, you know, if you want to two-man them for pretty cheap, like 6,700 to two-man Wilson and Backstrom, especially if Ovechkin's out, I think that's fine, but that's about it for Washington for me.
Yeah. Just make sure to keep that in mind when you're stacking Colorado. It is not a 7 p.m. start, obviously. I guess you can just, you know, power play, stack the guys. Like, Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, kind of in the same boat. Not as extreme as, like, McDavid, Draisaitl, but getting there. If you like all the tools that we use on the show, and you are not a member of Stokastic, we can get you a 5-day free trial. Click the link in the description below, and you'll get full access to everything that we have to offer: projections, ownership, top stacks, rankings, and the Discord. There are the projections. There are top stacks. Shows you the leverage, this and that. There's the lineup builder. That's how we get through the show. Do we have time to build a lineup? I don't know.
Oh, we'll see if we can do
it. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we'll do it at the end if we have time. Yeah. But yeah, make sure to click that link in the description below. Get you 5 days. today's Tuesday. It'll get you through all the big slates this week. So now is a very good time to sign up. Anaheim Ducks with a 3 total heading into Arizona. The Coyotes have a 3.4 total. John Gibson, Carol Vemelka, probable. Holy moly, we have the chalk spot of the night. I don't know if they're going to hit this level of chalk, but right now the Arizona top line is projected over 20% here. They have been pretty good. This is a very good power play spot. I don't know if I can jam in chalk Arizona one here. This feels like Columbus the other night. It feels worse than Columbus the other night. And you look on the other side, like McTavish, Henrik, Terry, little under 4%, fully correlated. Not a very good penalty kill for the Coyotes. Vemelka, if it is Vemelka, he has been very good this season. Now, for DFS purposes, he is 7,900. We like Vemelka 7K or below. I think I prefer the Duck side here.
Yeah, I'm with you. So much so that I actually wrote up Anaheim for that picks article. Again, free to read for anybody. I wrote up the Anaheim top line. The reason being, one, the ownership, as you talked about. I think the top stacks run for Arizona, they're up to 24% on DraftKings, 30% on FanDuel. There's going to be a lot, like, and our Discord was talking about, like, is it actually going to get that high? And I think it will. Like, this is a 3.4 total at home with concentrated scoring, right? Because, you know, Arizona, they got rid of Michael Carconi. They called up someone else. You know, they do have a couple injuries, so they're focused on the top line. And they're cheap. Like, you can mix them in with Tampa Bay. You can mix them in with Winnipeg. You can mix them in with, you know, Minnesota or, you know, St. Louis or Pittsburgh or all, you know, all those lines. So I do think we see pretty high ownership on Arizona. Like, they've been good, but, like, they're not world beaters. 2.2 expected goals for, 2.5 against. Like, they're below average by expected goal share. Even running hot, they're scoring 3.5 goals per 60 minutes, which is really good. But if you're running hot and scoring 3.5, that's a little bit of a problem for me. The big upside is they're playing monster minutes of late. Like, I think Clayton Keller hit 26 minutes a couple games ago. That is one of the big upsides here, is you're going to get monster minutes. So it's up to the individual whether you want to play Arizona. It's a great matchup of 5-on-5, great matchup on the power play. What I will say is Arizona power play sucks. Like, it is off. The Arizona power play is scoring roughly as much as the top line is at 5-on-5. And the reason that's happening is because Chychrun and Gostisbehere are taking over half the shots on the power play. The two defensemen are taking more shots than the three forwards. You're not going to score a ton of goals doing that. You can't just bomb from the point in the year 2023 on the power play. These goalies aren't wearing, you know, 3-inch wide shin pads like they were in 1986. That's just not the way you can do it. So I think Arizona, I agree with you. It's a great matchup, but I think at 20% plus ownership on an 11-game slate, it's a pretty easy fade for me. I'm more interested on the Anaheim side. That Anaheim top line, real bad defensively, but 2.8 expected goals for per 60 minutes. That's above average. It's better than Arizona's top line. They are perfectly correlated on the power play. If you want to take out McTavish and put in Zegras or something like that to, you know, get a little bit different, Zegras has been shooting the puck quite a bit of late. I think you can do that. But I agree, it's the Anaheim. And, like, Anaheim's top power play unit is good. What I wrote in that picks article is they're over 10 goals per 60 minutes at 5-on-5. It's better than Pittsburgh and only a little bit worse than Tampa Bay. The Anaheim power play is, by goals scored, 3 times better than the Arizona. And they're coming in at a fraction of the ownership. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm taking the Anaheim side here. It's the McTavish line that I'm focusing on, but I might mix in Zegras over McTavish in some lineups.
Yeah, I think you can just add in Zegras too if you want. Let's get to the last game of the night. Oh my. We have some late hammers tonight, my God. Chicago Blackhawks with a 2.7 total heading into Vancouver. The Canucks have a 3.8 total. Brucey baby, Bruce Boudreau was fired. Rick Tocchet. Rick Tocchet is now the head coach who doesn't care about playing defense, which is actually pretty good for DFS. He just all gas, no brakes on offense, baby. His lines, on the other hand, a bit wonky. At least the Pettersson-Kuzmenko line is together. That is my preferred option here. On the Blackhawks side, I don't want to full stack anything, but like the Canucks can't stop the puck. So I guess like Kane is in play. Tays Radish is in play for some power play stuff because Canucks are just awful on the penalty kill. But like I don't really want to stay up late and have my night depend on the Blackhawks.
Yeah. With Chicago, it's the four power play guys. It's Taves and Radish. It's Domi and Kane. Tyler Johnson got hurt. So Andreas Athanasiou is back on the top line. Not sure that really makes a difference. You're just, you know, you're shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic at this point. The Chicago power play, also good, sneaky good, like the Anaheim power play. Vancouver's penalty kill, obviously terrible. Maybe it'll be better under a different coach. Tough to say on game one. So if anything on Chicago side, it's one-offing the power play guys. Like you said, one-off Kane, one-off Radish, something like that. On the Vancouver side, there's a lot of ownership expected here. I think rightly so, given the matchup. 3.8 implied total. It's a tremendous power play matchup for Vancouver. Brock Besser was back on the top power play in the last game, but that was under Boudreau. Are they going to do something different here? The Horvat-Besser line is actually coming in with the least amount of ownership. They also have Jack Studnicka, which really sucks because he does. So, I mean, that's just kind of the way you go about it. The other two lines have double-digit ownership. Horvat and Besser sitting at 3.2% per our top stacks tool. Horvat and Besser going back to last year, over 400 minutes together, well over 3 goals scored per 60 minutes. So they've been good offensively. Defensively is another story, but it's Chicago. Who cares? So I do. It is the Horvat-Besser line that I do like best, but it is focusing on the power play guys. Like I think you can leave off Studnicka and, you know, add Miller or add Pettersson or something like that. It is Horvat and Besser I like here purely for ownership purposes. They should be the lowest owned line of Vancouver's three lines.
Yeah. It's always weird trying to stack a team with when it's a new coach in the first game in the middle of the season. Different styles. We'll see what happens. That is the 11 games here. Let's talk a little bit about defensemen before we do. Coming up after us is the NBA Deeper Dive at 5 p.m. And then after that, NBA Live before lock. That'll take you right up to NBA lock. After that, I believe there is a golf show. So make sure to stick around for that. 22 teams playing. There's got to be a couple defensemen that we like, these soulless creatures who play behind the blue line. Anyone sticking out for you?
Yeah, I wrote up Damon Severson for cheap. 3K on DraftKings. He's been playing over 24 minutes a game in the month of January. A reasonable total for cheap. Connor Clifton for Boston. He's been getting more minutes than Carlo of late. I was also looking at some scoring chance data. He's got like amongst the best scoring chance creation numbers of any defenseman in the league, like top 10. Yeah. Carter
Clifton.
Yeah. I was looking at the numbers yesterday. Now that scoring chance is created for teammates plus individual scoring chances. Top five are Fox, Josi, McCarr, Dahl, and Carlson. I think that makes sense. The next two are Dougie Hamilton and Noah Dobson. I think that makes sense. And then Connor Clifton. And we're not, it's not a small sample. It's over 250 tracked minutes. So like there's, I don't know what's going on, but Connor Clifton for sure. Ryan McDonough, Nashville might have to block some shots against Winnipeg. He's projecting well. Henry Jokiharju under 3K. If you need a guy under 3K playing over 20 minutes for Buffalo. Mid price guys, Chris Letang, obviously, if he does play, he's 5K on DraftKings. Our boy, Jake Wallman, at home to San Jose, I'll play him at 4,200 all day long. Same thing with Dmitry Orlov. I think he's 4,300 on DK, still leading Washington defenseman in minutes. Quinn Hughes, I hate playing the guy, but it is a tremendous matchup for Vancouver at home, and he's still pretty cheap. if you're going to pay up, I wrote about Victor Hedman. We talked about the power play spot earlier. It might be a sneaky good spot for the Tampa power play unit. And obviously Jacob Chychrun at home against Anaheim. This seems like one of those matchups where he ends up with like 7 shots on goal or something like that.
Yeah, I agree there. Didn't have time to prepare those soulless creatures on the blue line. Lots of goalie options. Who do you like in a net?
I wrote up Juuse Saros, 7,600. He's the top projection for any goalie under 7,800 on DraftKings. So I think he's fine. If he's way more expensive on FanDuel. So like Carl Vimelka or something on FanDuel, I think is fine. Tristan Jarry at home for Pittsburgh without Sam Bennett, Florida back-to-back on the road. Carter Hart, 7,400 at home as well against the Kings. Kings struggle to score at times. If you want to pay down even more, I think Logan Thompson and Darcy Kemper are the two options. Thompson on the road against New Jersey, Kemper on the road against Colorado. Both home teams shoot a lot, don't always score a lot. So maybe they can get there. So Saros, Jarry, Hart, Thompson, Kemper, depending how much you want to pay up for.
Yeah, I'll add in there Vasilevsky. He's 7,800 on DraftKings. Also, like if you really want to take a fun ride, if Spencer Knight is confirmed, he's 7,400 on DraftKings. Maybe you catch a little lightning in a bottle there. He'll definitely see the volume, so don't mind him there. Who are you looking for your hat trick pick?
We're going to the other side of the Arizona game, and we're going with Mr. Troy Terry. 1 goal in 22 games. He's busting out in a big way here tonight.
One could say he's due. I'm going to go with Nikolai Ehlers because I like him. He's my guy.
I like it. I was messing around with the lineup builder. We could probably do a lineup pretty quickly. I was seeing what could fit with Chalk Pittsburgh. So the Pittsburgh top line, Crosby, Gensel, and Rust. And then the very low-owned Winnipeg line of Ehlers, Scheifele, and Wheeler. Now, that is expensive, but as we mentioned, we don't mind playing Darcy Kemper here tonight, so we can put in Kemper.
Narrative Street there, by the way. First time back in Colorado.
Yeah, that too. And we can put match him with Martin Fairbairn on the blue line. And then $2,700 defensive Mario Farrell from San Jose. He's a guy I always play with cheap. So that's our sample lineup you can put together real quick with the lineup builder. That goes well with chalky Pittsburgh. Should make it less chalky with Winnipeg. And obviously you can mix and match defensemen or goalies. Take a Blake Wheeler, put in somebody else instead. But that's how you can use a lineup builder to build, if you're single entering, to build a lineup pretty quickly and see what the ownership and what the projections and all that will be like.
Yeah, it shows that this slate's not very price prohibitive. Also, if you like these tools, make sure to click that link in the description, get your 5-day free trial. It'll take you through the end of this week, which gets you all the big slates. So for Cliffy, I am Josh. We'll be back on Thursday. Good luck, everybody. We'll see you in Discord. Good luck.
Good luck, everyone.